Il Dottore, The Double Life of a Mafia Doctor, written by Ron Felber and read by Jim Knobloch. Of course, as Eliot would come to understand much later, the special relationship Jews and Italians shared wasn't restricted to the Bronx, or New York for that matter. Historically, the symbiosis built around power and money between the two ethnic groups went back at least to the heyday of Chicago underworld boss Johnny Torrio and a hoodlum genius named Arnold Rothstein. Torrio, who was nicknamed the Fox, was born in New York's Lower East Side in 1882, but gravitated to Chicago, where he went to work for Chicago crime boss Big Jim Colosimo, running gambling operations, brothels, and narcotics distribution. Street smart and ruthless when he had to be, Torrio climbed his way through the ranks of Big Jim's operations, preaching an approach considerably different from his boss and most others working in the business of crime at the time. Torrio believed that violence leads only to more violence, though it was he who arranged Colosimo's assassination by a young hood named Frankie Yale, so he could take over his operation. Afterward, seeing, as many did, that Prohibition was a bonanza for crime lords like himself, he formed distribution alliances in Chicago, Detroit, and Canada, counterfeiting legal U.S. government alcohol certificates, buying distilleries in England and Scotland to control supply, and carving up the city of Chicago into inviolable territories to lessen mob tensions and maintain a permanent peace. The old joke goes, "Jesus saves, but Moses invests." And maybe there's some truth to it, because while Johnny Torrio saw a future for the mafiosi in multinational corporations, it was Arnold Rothstein, a Jew, who articulated a vision of what organized crime could someday become. Rothstein was nicknamed the Brain, because it was he who brought La Cosa Nostra to entirely new levels. Active, as were Al Capone and Torrio, in bootlegging, Rothstein expanded the world of crime into Wall Street, counterfeiting stock certificates, selling worthless bonds, making millions per year on the sale of stolen Liberty bonds issued by the federal government during World War I. Not content with indirect control of most bootlegging operations in New York, stolen and counterfeit Liberty bonds began showing up in Cuba, England, Nassau, France, and the Near East to purchase liquor and narcotics worldwide. A great believer in cooperation over violence, Rothstein saw crime as a corporation exercising limited use of force and called for the creation among his gangland counterparts of a multi-ethnic, multinational federation. Truly, the world of Arnold Rothstein was a limitless one, uninhibited by morals or prejudice, leaving no stone unturned, no business opportunity unexploited.